The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance and Nate Griffin are going to join us in just a little bit. We'll be on Channel 26, so if you want to see us, you're more than welcome to do that right here on ESPN 97.5. Slow night last night with no Astros out there. So, nice night. Let's bring in Lance here and Dell first. What's up, boys?
What's going on, Johnny?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Are you guys up on Succession?
The show on HBO?
Yeah.
No, I really want to watch it, though. I'm on Sneaky Pete right now on Hulu Prime. Or Amazon Prime, not Hulu Prime.
Sneaky Pete?
It's the Bryan Cranston show with a con man. Giovanni Ribisi is a con man who pretends to be somebody else that walks back into his family, his cousins and grandparents' life. They hadn't seen him for 20 years. It's pretty good.
Oh, I thought it was Toy Story, that Sneaky Pete. But that's cool. That's cool. If you want to watch a cartoon instead of Succession, that's fine. That's great.
No, I'm watching Sneaky Pete. I'm watching the Con Man show. It's good, but everyone's talked about Succession being really good. So
it is.
I'm definitely going to watch it.
I caught up on it last night. I was like, holy crap, this is good. This is really, really good. There was some stuff in there that was a little gross, but it was for the most part neat. It's a good show. You got to check it out.
I'll tell you another show that you should check out. Dell, maybe you have seen some of this. It's called High Maintenance on HBO, and it's about a bicycle guy who's a weed guy in New York. And so every show is completely different. Like, nothing ties. You can watch any one show at any one time, and you don't really need to have watched the other shows. And it's about the people he runs into, and he's just a real laid back. Hey, what's going on, guy? You know, and he's actually the guy who wrote. He stars in it, but he wrote the show also, and that's a pretty good one too that you can watch on HBO. There's a new one coming out called Mello Saves the Rockets, and that's going to be a new documentary where Carmelo hopes to bring his mid-range game into town and save the Rockets through mid-range shots and sparse defense.
You know, obviously, the defensive thing, and we're going to talk. That's what we're going to talk with Nate about here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be on Channel 26. Maybe Dell, you can put that on 26 for us, so that we can see when we're getting close. But I didn't realize this. Of course, Melo was who Melo was last year. It didn't work out with Russell Westbrook. With a lot of guys, it doesn't work out. Look at Victor Oladipo. Not that he's going to be Victor Oladipo, but look at how things changed for him. You know, I didn't realize this, but Melo was one of the best spot-up shooters just a couple of years ago with Derrick Rose and Porzingis. He was shooting 42% from the catch and shoot. If he can get anywhere close to that, and guys change when... Now, he's never going to change defensively. I don't think that there's any question about that. But he's shooting. He took more shots, and, you know, he made a bunch of threes last year. But he wasn't a high percentage guy. With you know, their ability, Harden's and Paul's ability to draw defenders, and if Melo can just catch and shoot, not stop the ball, and just catch and shoot, if he can hit at a nice percentage, maybe he can be a plus guy. As opposed to the guy that we saw last postseason. I don't know that we've seen a worse postseason out of anyone than Melo last year. He was awful, awful, awful. They were minus 94 when he was on the minus 58 when he was on the floor, some crap. He was one of the worst postseason players last year in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, they were minus 58, I think, and plus like 29 when he isn't. And then he was minus 58 in 194 minutes.
Yeah.
Of postseason basketball. But, you know, the problem, John, for me is I think he's obviously going to be – I think he'll be okay on the offensive end. I'm not worried about that with Carmelo. I mean, he'll end up shooting it at a decent clip. He'll end up being able to score a little bit. What I'm a little bit worried about is they are going to get even slower here, and they've been developing into more of a half-court team than a team that likes to push it. And as long as you can execute in a half-court, that's fine. But what really concerns me is one of the things that made the Rockets really good last year is their ability to switch everything. They did that specifically to guard Golden State, and I don't see defensively as a man defender and as a switching defender, they just got worse, or they're going to get worse with the lack of Bamute and Ariza. And I don't think you beat the Warriors by just adding another guy who can shoot the ball. I mean, I think you have to beat them through defense. I think last year proved it.
Yeah, I thought that was the route and that they were going to take as an organization, and we saw the success that they had because of their ability to play defense. And you know, I think that that's the biggest question is what kind of role is Melo going to play? That's where we're going to bring Nate in here as we are going to be on Channel 26 in just a couple of minutes. Nate Griffin joining us here. What's going on, Nate?
Not a whole lot, man, but enjoying being here this morning, you guys.
Yeah, you're looking sharp too, man. That is a good looking suit you got going on. You
Thank
always
you,
dress nice though. Always dresses nice as opposed to what we're. Yeah, you should warn us that you were going to be on TV.
But you know what though? You know what though, John? Yeah. Every time I see you, sharp.
Yeah.
By the way, that bit yesterday.
You were Nate texted me, Lance. He didn't know that Francesco Molinari was going to call in.
That was crazy.
That's not a bit. It's Francesco Molinari on a mobile. Yeah, and he was spectacular. I didn't know that he was going to have some ladies in the room. I didn't know that it was going to be as interesting as it was, but it was.
That was great.
If you didn't hear.
I can say for a fact, John, that there's a decent chance that when Francisco got off the radio with you, his throat was bleeding for the rest of the day, and he may have done some severe damage.
Well, I would imagine from all the partying that he was doing, and he seemed to be enjoying himself in the middle of our conversation.
Francisco on a mobile may have woken up at about 2:36 last night in a tremendous amount of pain because his throat was just ripped raw. That may have actually happened. I can't believe how many people hit us up who listen to the show on. Can you believe how many people listen on podcasts?
Yeah, I know.
Twitter, they'll tell you, just get into the podcast.
And a lot of people missed it or for whatever reason, and we're listening. We saw a lot of tweets. So we're about to head to Channel 26 now, as a matter of fact, and we're looking. And Nate Griffin is going to be nodding in just a second. That's what he does.
You know you've got to give the golf countdown.
I sure am. Who's on the set today?
Melissa and Jose. Yes.
Are on the set. Because we're looking at, actually, Stormy Daniels.
Here we go.
And it is very stormy out there. And it is a wonderful time for Nate to be looking, and he's looking. And Nate's looking at the camera, and that is where we are as a community. And now we have a thumbs up from Steve.
Melissa, Jose, we're hearing. Good morning, by the way. John Granato is doing his golf countdown and all that stuff. Good morning, by the way. Listen, the deal is Carmelo Anthony on his way to Houston from what we understand. And 34 years old at this particular point in time, still technically with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But there's a three-team trade that's going to send him to the Atlanta Hawks. And when that's done, completely done, then he's going to become a free agent. And we understand he's going to sign with the Houston Rockets. What do you think?
I think they've been coveting Carmelo for whatever reason. He was a mess last year. I don't think it worked out at all in Oklahoma City. And he's not exactly what we've seen. I think the switch to a more defensive basketball team was a real positive one last year. He's not I'm going to be kind. He's not a real good defender, if you want to know the truth. So I think it's going to be an interesting it'll be interesting to see how they use him.
Yeah, you figure once you're done, Trevor Ariza was a great defender, and then all of a sudden Mbamute no longer with the Rockets. They're going to replace Carmelo Anthony or put him in that spot, if you will. I heard a stat yesterday, John, that if Carmelo Anthony joins the team or when he joins the team, there's going to be a defensive drop-off with the Rockets.
Absolutely. That will happen. You hope that he will be a nice catch-and-shoot guy when he's on the floor. I think that it's going to be... You know, we'll see. Maybe he's going to be a 28-minute guy. I don't know. He certainly was averse to coming off the bench in Oklahoma City. He laughed when asked about coming off the bench. He has played more games than anybody without coming off the bench since, like, the 70s. So he is probably going to be a starter, but we'll see if he gets starter minutes. That's the difference.
All right, that's John Granato, the great one. We also know Carmelo Anthony can also fill it up. We'll let you know more about that in the next hour. Now it's time for traffic, I believe, because we have to know what's happening on the roadways.
I believe. That was very Anchorman of you.
That's because I wasn't sure. I got my producer over here. I got Stu up there. You know, Stu Brown, our great photographer. And I got you sitting here just like, okay, what's happening? You know, what are we doing?
Where are we going?
Yeah, I got
I'm Ron Burgundy. Who put a question mark in there for Nate?
That's right.
All right. So you'll be back again? Are we doing this
again? We'll be back at 8 o'clock to talk more about Carmelo Anthony. I'm really interested to see how he's going to fit in this offense. I know that he and D'Antoni, a little bit of an issue there.
Yeah, but I think that's the kind of thing that you're just going to have. I think
you got to get over that. They're pros.
Yeah, they're both pros. And D'Antoni has said, you know what? I don't know, Lance. I just don't get this Daryl Morey infatuation. Maybe, you know, and, well, you know, Daryl's been right before. I saw a tweet yesterday from a guy. Yeah, everybody went nuts. Mike D'Antoni sucks. Why did we hire him? Yeah, why are we bringing in, who did they bring in?
Chris Paul.
Yeah, Chris Paul. There's not enough basketballs. And everybody, you know, and Daryl Morey was right. So we'll see. We'll see. This doesn't appear to be, but you know what? I'm gonna wait and see. I just think that where they improved so much and why they were so much better was in large part because of their defense, and he certainly doesn't make you better defensively.
No, he doesn't. Hey, Lance, by the way, this isn't Lance on a mobile, is it? I just want to
know. No, it's the real Lance.
I thought so. I should know that anyway. Yeah. All right, guys, we'll see you at 8 o'clock.
All right, man. Thank you. That's Nate Griffin with us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so let's get to a break on time. We can talk more Mellow. We got some others. There's Jimmy Garoppolo stuff to talk. All kinds. There's actually a lot of stories out there as we head towards training camps. And we, you know, maybe we can talk some Texans this morning, Lance. That might be interesting.
We've got ESPN Insiders took a look at, they had 50 executive rank of the quarterbacks by tiers. And I'll tell you where Deshaun Watson landed.
All right. We'll see where that is. Right. That'll be next right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about my peeps over at HRNP. When you are looking for, and this is not only, here's the deal is, it's not only the payroll and the HR. What about benefits? Okay, benefits are awfully important to everybody who is working. And what kind of benefits plans and packages are you going to have? And this is what these guys do every single day. And they are really, really great at it. There's not only that, but it's the tax season that is the most, this may be the most important thing about all of it, is do they take care of your taxes for you? Do they take care of your Affordable Care Act? Are you somebody who is going to be messing this thing up and paying penalties? If that's the case, my goodness, if you've ever had to pay a penalty, first of all, if you don't have a payroll company, you need one. And if you do and they screwed it up, you need mine. You need HRNP. They're the best. HRP.net. I mean, this has been flawless and it's been unbelievable. And it is customized to your business, not cookie cutter. All at 281-880-60. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell here on the show. Nate will be back at the top of the hour. You can watch us on Channel 26 in just a little bit. So here we are, and we're just a couple of days away from training camp as the team is going to head up to the Greenbrier. 11 practices up there, and then they'll come back home, and they will have some open practices. Actually, you might be able to, if you go to the HoustonTexans.com, you might be able to get some tickets, and they're open practices. So you got that going on when they come back here after the first preseason game. In the meantime, I want to know, I didn't see this list of the general managers and executives. Who is it that voted on these quarterbacks?
So there were 50 50 NFL execs, okay? And they voted on quarterbacks. What they did is they put them in tier 1, 2, 3, 4, basically. There's four different tiers. And so their scores are based on which tier they're in.
Okay.
And I think it's 1 through 5, 1 being the best and 5 being, you know, the worst. And so I'll give you a chance right now. I'll do it like this. The tier 1, who would you consider to be tier 1 quarterbacks? How many would you consider, first of all?
How many would I consider to be tier 1 quarterbacks? Okay, so there are only 5 tiers?
There's only 4 tiers.
There's only 4 tiers. Okay.
Tier 1, a quarterback who can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations.
I will say that there are 5 tier 1 quarterbacks.
Four.
And I'm going to, okay. Well, this is going to be interesting because I don't know. Okay, so it's going to be Brady. It's going to be Breeze. Yep. It's going to be Roethlisberger.
Yep.
And I'm going to say the fourth one is going to, it's going to be between, I don't know if Carson Wentz is that well thought of. I'm going to go Matt Ryan.
No, you're missing one. You're missing an easy one.
I am going. Because
you wouldn't pass on him. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, shoot. I said shoot.
Did you?
Yeah, I said shoot.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Not the first time.
I said shoot.
Not the first time.
I said shoot.
He has cussed like 3 times, and just in English. Spanish cuss, that's another number.
He's cussed like three
times the last 2 days.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. That's okay. That's obvious. Yeah. Okay.
But you got Roethlisberger. That was one I wasn't sure if you would get Roethlisberger in there.
No, he's the guy who carries that team. I mean, to me, he's a top tier. I think, yeah, Ben's.
We can't carry him. I mean, Lev Bell.
I mean, we keep talking about Eli, and we keep talking about Flacco, about being elite. Ben's, I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Do we talk about Eli and Flacco still?
Well, not anymore, but I mean, that was talked about a lot just because Eli won a couple of titles. They won, and Eli's been a good, solid quarterback, but he's not a Hall of Famer. To me, he's not a Hall of Famer.
No, I don't think he's even close.
Oh, I think he'll get there, but I don't think he is one.
A Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I mean, just because you – why? Because he won two rings?
Yeah, he won 2 rings and number of games and, you know, his longevity. I mean, his total numbers, all of those things. He's been a Hall of Health. He's been. I agree, but I think he's going to get there because first of all, his name, I mean, and where he played, and the 2 titles.
His name should make it harder because his brother shows you what a Hall of Famer looks like, and it doesn't look like Eli Manning.
Yeah. Okay. Next tier.
Well, let me say your tier 4 because this is the least interesting. It's AJ McCarron. I'm going from 32nd on up. AJ McCarron followed by Pat Mahomes. 2 guys who haven't really had a chance.
No.
Josh McCown, Journeyman, Mitchell Trubisky, that's tier 4. So tier 2 and tier 3 are kind of interesting where you have people. Where do you think our own Deshaun Watson ended up? Ahead or behind Jameis Winston?
Don't tell me that. I mean, that's ridiculous. He must be behind him. He must be behind him.
No, he's ahead of him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't think you would ask that question unless he was behind him, which would make my head blow up. Yeah. You're trying to make my head explode.
No. They got Jameis at 20. Where do you think they have Marcus Mariota, ahead or behind Deshaun Watson?
I would say behind.
That's correct.
Okay.
He's 21st.
Okay.
Behind Jameis Winston. Would you put him behind Jameis?
I would say I was going to say they're both right next to each other because that's about right where they should be. Although Mariota led his team to the playoffs last year, but he has had some injury woes. So, I mean, it's not like he's carrying them. So, I would say that those two are close, although I would put Mariota ahead of Jameis.
Jared Goff versus Eli Manning. Who is higher?
Right now is probably Jared Goff after one season of being good.
Eli Manning, number 17.
Yeah.
Jared Goff, number 19.
Really?
Yeah, doesn't that seem low?
That's real low after last year.
Let me see what they say about Jared Goff here. Dak Prescott, number 18. So he's behind Dak Prescott.
He's behind Dak, and he's behind Eli.
Yep. behind Deck and Eli is and I was really shocked by that. I mean, that Jared Goff is behind Dak Prescott because he did have a full year, but they've got a write up on, you know, on why. Alex Smith is number he's tied for 17. Yeah, Alex Smith is number 15. He's tied for number 15 along with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is the top quarterback in tier three. Kirk Cousins, tier three quarterbacks. A quarterback is a legitimate starter but needs a heavier running game and or defense to win. A lower volume passing offense makes his job easier. That sounds accurate, doesn't it? That sounds like
okay, Kirk Cousins. So it's Cousins, 15. Go through the list.
Cousins, followed by Alex Smith, Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Jameis, 21st is Mariota, 22nd Dalton, 23rd Joe Flacco, tied for 23rd is Case. And then you drop to Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, wow. See, I would have thought Case.
And Blake Bortles.
I would have thought Case would be higher. I would have put Case much higher, and I would have put Alex Smith in tier two.
Still?
Yeah. Yep. He's been a playoff quarterback for years now.
Once again, here's a definition of tier three. And tell me if this doesn't sound like they basically just wrote Alex Smith. A legitimate starter needs a heavier running game and or defense to win. A lower volume passing offense makes his job easier. That's exactly Alex Smith.
I think he's so underrated. I don't know. I think he does more things and has been a winner and has done I don't know. I have a higher opinion. I think he's better. I would rather have Alex Smith than Kirk Cousins. I think the Redskins made a good move.
Well, here's a definition of tier two. A tier two quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possesses other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game. The very best in tier two is Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
Russell Wilson.
So Russell is sixth.
Okay.
Matt Stafford, they've got seventh. Phillip Rivers, eighth. And then Carson Wentz, ninth. I'm frankly surprised Wentz is ninth. But those other quarterbacks are more established.
Where do they have Derek Carr?
Derek Carr, Andrew Luck is 10. Cam Newton, 11. How Cam Newton has fallen. How about that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then Derek Carr, 12. And you know what? You really want the truth? Is Derek Carr overrated at number 12 right now?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, based on last year. Last year, his rating was number 7.
I'm going to say this, and I'm not blowing smoke here for the Cougs. I think Case Keenum should be in 2.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Did he carry his team with
What kind of running game did they have last year? They got to the NFC Championship game.
This is no disrespect to Case. I mean, tier two are some really good quarterbacks now. Case has had a year where he played well for Minnesota, but I mean, this is a long sample size. Can you discount?
Really? Carson Wentz and Jared Goff?
Well, yeah, but these are high-end, early-round picks. They're number one and number two. A lot are expected of them. They're just getting their career started. Case has been in the league, 7 years now?
I'm going to tell you, and he's been, in the situations he's been in. But I'm going to tell you this. Denver will be a playoff team this year.
I think you're right. I think Case is a good fit over there. He doesn't have a big arm to push it down the field, but I think Case is going to do well with those players.
I don't know if he'll ever, and it's likely he'll never be an MVP. Who knows? But does Case have a Rich Gannon-type trajectory? Because Rich Gannon was kind of a guy who he was just a guy, and then he got in the right place and he became an MVP, and he was looked at as a really, really good quarterback.
Okay, where would you have ranked, honestly, where was Case on the MVP list? I mean, he was talked about as MVP last year. Not that he was going to win it, but he was fifth? He was realistically about the fifth best player last year in the NFL.
Oh. You mean MVP votes, not fifth best player. I mean, you got
fifth MVP. Players. Fifth in MVP.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if it's based on winning and your impact on being on a winning team, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Case played He played great. People try to drop turds on him, but he played good football. There's no getting around it if you're being honest. But I just – we'll see how he does. I think he's in a pretty good situation. I think he's in a pretty favorable situation with those wide receivers over there. I think he'll be good. You know, they got Jimmy Garoppolo 13. So, obviously, they're not afraid to fire Jimmy Garoppolo way up the charts based on a very small sample size with Jimmy G. Also.
Well, and it's a small sample size with Goff. It's a small sample size with Wentz. It's a small sample size with Case. Honestly, I know he's been in the league and he's had some snaps, but you saw what he can do. And sometimes, like you said, I think that's a really good analogy, Dell. He could be a Rich Gannon. You get to the right place and you have some success. You build some confidence. They get some confidence in you. I'm convinced it's so often we look at guys. We look at Max Stassi. Well, you're Max Stassi. You're not. Oh, wait, you're good. Oh, wait, you look at Case Keenum. Well, undrafted. You can't wait. You're good. I mean, we have to get over the name and sometimes the stature and just look at the guy at how he's playing. We'll see. I mean, I think Case, it'll be important for him to validate this year what he did last year because it is the outlier. The way he played last year, he had some nice moments here, but the way that he played last year, he took a huge step. Now he's got to validate that.
Well, here's a comment. He's one of those guys who will have a couple good years, and then he will become a good backup. At the end of the day, he's going to play 12 to 13 years in the league, and he'll be fine, like Josh McCown. That's what one offense coordinator said. Another one said he's a 3 on his best day. An offense coach said they had defense and really good receiving talent for him, and they had enough rushing attempts where it was not all on him. And they mixed the play action so he could survive. What's the difference between Case Keenum and Nick Foles? Another guy said, yeah, maybe, but they are high-end backups who got opportunities with teams that had both sides of the ball and ready to go. I just do not think Keenum all of a sudden got good. So he thinks Keenum played better. Keenum has confidence, and he's calm in the pocket, a former GM said. He doesn't get frantic and make stupid decisions. He has just enough arm strength to make the throws. He won, and he went from nothing to something. So I don't think it's disrespectful to say he's tier 3 based on, you know, how they define tier 3. Now, when we come back, I'll tell you where Deshaun Watson fit in because it's right after Garoppolo. But I'll read you some of the pros and some of the cons of what people are saying about Deshaun Watson when we get back.
All right. Why don't you talk about Craig DeSurf first?
Tell you what, I had somebody at the station ask about getting a new truck. And they said, look, I gotta see if your guys can help me out. I need a new truck, either a new or pre-owned truck. But I've got some limitations from a financial standpoint. Can they work with me? Can they help me? I reached out to Craig DeSurf, and he's like, absolutely. Have your guy contact Rick Drenner. He said, better yet, give Rick his phone number, and we'll get a hold of him, and we'll try to help him as best we can. And it really doesn't matter what your limitations are. Maybe you have a vehicle that you don't think is going to bring you much trade-in value. Maybe you're a little strapped for cash right now. Maybe you've got issues with your credit. Maybe you've got issues with this, that. I don't know what your issues are. But even if you have some problems and things aren't perfect for you and you're a little concerned, let Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC take a shot with you. Maybe it's a lease you're looking for. Maybe it's a pre-owned vehicle. Maybe they have very special programs that can help you get into the vehicle you're looking for. And if you do have a vehicle that's in good shape that you're trading in, I can promise you you're going to get more trade-in value from my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. That's how they operate. They're going to give you better trade-in value. They're going to give you lower prices on your cars because they're in Angleton. They don't have the same overhead that the Houston dealerships have, and so they are able to pass it on to you in much, much lower prices and much deeper savings. Head out to Angleton, 40 to 45 minutes away. It could save you $4,000 or $4,500 on your vehicle or more. Give them a shot by going to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, or just go to the website to see their entire stock of vehicles and to even get the car buying experience started at LanceZCars.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 735 ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell. And we were talking about Deshaun Watson. We were talking about quarterbacks and where they're, what tier they are in. And so, Lance, what do they say about Deshaun?
So they put him at number 14 right behind Jimmy Garoppolo. And here's some of the pros and cons. An offense coordinator said, I give him an optimistic 3. There were a lot of good things, but also a lot of bad things that got glossed over. It was a little bit of his legend. Even the games where they scored a lot of points, he made some horrendous throws that he got away with. Do I think he's talented? Yes. Do I like him? Yes. I just think he is a 3 that could become a 2. You know, there were throws where he just made just ridiculously bad throws that became interceptions. But when you have all those touchdowns, you don't talk about those. You know why? Because touchdowns win. And it doesn't wipe away the other stuff, but it diminishes them in the conversation. Obviously, you don't sit and harp on the interceptions when you're throwing that many touchdowns. But the problem is, John, if those same touchdowns happen this year and there's not as – the same interceptions, rather, and there's not as many touchdowns, that's when it will become more of a conversation.
Or there's more touchdowns and fewer interceptions.
Well, that would make him one of the all-time great quarterbacks
in history.
Thank
you. Good night.
Okay. Here's another one. To me, he's like the guy from Philly, Wentz, an evaluator said. Let's just see if he can get through the year healthy. He played like a 1 when he played. These teams are doing a great job of doing what guys can do, playing to their strengths. The league has gotten better at that. Whether guys can stay healthy playing that way, that would be my question. Another guy, a quarterback coach, said, he's a player, man. Ship. But he's ship with a P.
Right.
Ship. Talk about what a team was night and day with and without him. Not just once, but twice. Before he played and then after he played. And then you could go back to his true freshman year at Clemson. He tore his ACL halfway through that season, and that was a totally different team before and after him. Big-time guy.
Well, see, that's the smartest of all of those idiots. So, well, how about this? I'm looking at CBS.
That's the smartest of all of those idiots, Dell. That's what he said. 50 NFL executives, and John saying that's the smartest of all those idiots.
So 2018 fantasy football draft prep. There are... Okay. Elite and mega upside, 4 players. Excellent, 2 players. Very good, high value, less upside. Name the elite and mega upside fantasy football quarterbacks.
I'm going to say Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Those 4. Excellent. The next 2.
Well, it's going to be Ben. The next two, well, how many players are there in the
just
next
2 one? And it's not Ben.
Oh, then it wouldn't be Ben. For fantasy football. Let's do Drew Brees.
He's in the next tier.
So he's not number 2?
No. It's
Wentz
and Newton.
Okay.
And then Roethlisberger, Breeze, Luck, Mahomes, and Stafford. That's awful high for Mahomes.
Wow, that is.
That is.
Kansas City loves Mahomes.
I would put Garoppolo up in that one. They've got Kirk Cousins, Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, and Eli Manning.
I would put Kirk Cousins, yeah. Kirk Cousins belongs in that third tier. But, you know, Kirk Cousins, here's the thing with Cousins. No matter who he has around him, he had some talent in Washington at one point, and then he didn't. And, you know, he has some guys to throw to in Minnesota, but Kirk Cousins feels like a guy who could throw for like Schaub will throw for about 4,200 yards and never hit 30 touchdowns.
Yeah.
No matter how many yards he throws for, he's never going to hit 30 touchdowns.
Yeah. All right. Well, and Dak Prescott falls into the less upside. You got to draft him way low. And Jeff wants to talk about Dak here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Jeff? How are you?
Hey, guys. Yes, I saw the ratings and everything for the tiers. And just one thing on Deshaun, how he affects the team, it was crazy night and day, like that smartest idiot said. So to me, that's a reflection of a 1. You know, 1s change your team night and day confidence-wise. Defense, special teams, offense. So that's what I'll say about Dak, Deshaun. But with Dak, he's year 3. And typically, you are what you are after year three of, you know, starting and whatnot. Year four especially, but year three is kind of a make or break year for a lot of these guys. You look at Winston, you look at Mariota, you're kind of saying, eh, you know? Whereas Deshaun, you're like, wow. And Dak Prescott only throws less than 10% deep balls, you know, over 20 yards. And you see Deshaun slinging it left and right. You see Mahomes in his few games, which is why he has the upside, slinging it left and right. So if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, are you kind of on edge with your dink and dunk reputation of a quarterback? And if he doesn't really excel in the deep ball this year, do you kind of start looking at him as a lesser version of Alex Smith and thinking, I got to draft a new quarterback in 3 years? You know, how do you look at Dak if he doesn't improve on his deep ball game? And I'll let y'all talk about it.
He's a game manager. I think Alex Smith thing's a pretty good, a pretty astute observation. And I don't think, and Alex Smith wasn't somebody like, yeah, the you did have teams saying we need to draft and to try to replace Alex Smith, but it ends up being kind of a mistake, John, because you can win with a game manager. You just have to build teams to suit the game manager. I think Dak could become a pretty good game manager in the NFL, and game managers can have some moments where they can win some games. I think that's Dak. I think Dak could be that. I don't think Dak is. I didn't think Dak was special coming out. I looked bad with my draft write-up his rookie year, but then it looked like maybe it was a little more accurate write-up his second year. We'll see. We'll see where he is, but I don't think Dak's going to be better than Deshaun Watson. I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case, and I do think Dak is going to be an elevated game manager potentially, but that, I think that's okay because somewhere along the line, game manager became a bad word, and it's I don't think it should be a bad word.
No, and I also think, you know, I'm not so sure that he has. I mean, we talk about that offensive line. We talk about Zeke. But, you know, Jason Witten was about 100 years old last year. Dez was Dez, and I'm overrated. Terrence Williams. I mean, did he really have guys that were going down the field and he, you know, had a chance to, you know, throw the ball down the field all that much? Or was it, you know, this is what we are and this is what we're going to have to do? I mean, I think, you know, some of that is getting some separation with some fast guys and having some guys open that you can do stuff with. So, we keep talking about that offense being, you know, and look at that offensive line. Yeah, well, look at those playmakers. Where are they?
Dallas really needs – they had a good running game. They had Dez. They had
Beasley.
A good offensive line. But they're really going to have to find – they've really got to get playmakers for him because that's a big problem. He needs help around him. He's not going to elevate people around him. He needs people to help raise his game, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and everybody does,
right,
don't they?
They need that.
I mean, you talked about Case, you know, having those receivers there. And, you know, he had a couple of really good receivers in Minnesota as well. I mean, when you got guys that can separate even a little bit, you know, that quarterback is going to look that much better. So, I think Dak is – I mean, I thought I didn't have him anywhere near what he did his rookie year, probably closer to what he did last year. But, I think you got to give guys a better chance to move the ball, get the ball down the field with better guys that can actually get open. Are you watching this Jared Lorenzen stuff?
No, what's up with J-Lo?
Oh, my God. It is it's unbelievable that he can walk. Is unbelievable. He's
what you mean with how big he is?
Oh my God!
What do you mean watching this stuff? Jared Lorenzen has been a fat guy for years.
No. But this is ridiculous now. I mean, this is unbelievable now. Truly, you would think that this guy can't play nose tackle. He's too big, and he's out there flinging it around. And he got hit, and well, surprisingly, he got hurt. Surprisingly. 744 ESPN 97.
Hold on. Where did you see
it? It's on ESPN 2 right now.
Wait. He's on TV? What's he doing?
Yes. Is he still playing or was how long
ago
was this?
It's an E60 story about his life, yeah. I think, after that injury.
Oh.
You see all the pills that he has to take and, you know, how wide he is. I don't think he's playing anymore.
Oh, but when was the last time he played?
In the Arena League? I don't remember.
But, dude, he was – I mean, he's always been big, but – that he was on the field like that is incredible. Incredible. He's the greatest athlete of all time.
He is a limber fat guy.
Oh my God. All right. I don't like to label
body
people
shame.
Like that.
I don't like body shaming like Lance does.
Lance, it's okay for you to just.
No, I said nimble, so that's good. Like
no,
that's a,
no, you said, did you say limber? Did you say nimble or limber?
Oh, why don't you just use the F word on him?
Oh, yeah, I did say limber.
You said limber, fat guy.
Yeah, but he's limber and nimble. That's why those are super compliments. Like,
is fat guy a compliment?
Is that a?
Yeah, it is for it is in some circles, like offensive line circles. Sometimes they call themselves that.
But
they're allowed to say it. You're not allowed to say it.
Well, you just said
you
it.
You said it, and you're not well, one of
I'm
them.
But I'm on a selection committee for the Joe Moore Awards, which is the top offensive line in the country.
Jarrett Lorenzen's not an offensive lineman.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah, and you called him a fat guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe he needs testosterone, Lance.
He's too big to play. He's too big to play the offensive line. If you want, you know what? He could probably lose some of that stomach if he took some testosterone.
If it's an issue, I mean, my guys will see him. I guarantee you, Michael will certainly see him. That's the great thing about my friends over at Men's T Clinic. You see a provider every single time. You're going to see somebody who understands where your optimal level is, and if you're at your optimal level, then you're not a candidate for testosterone treatments, and they're not going to treat you. If that's the case, they don't want to treat people who shouldn't be treated, because this is about health. It's about your well-being, and they want you to live your best life. The best way to do that is to feel great. And when you get your testosterone level where it should be, you're going to find that your workouts go more fluidly. You're going to find the results are much more substantial in terms of eliminating belly fat and turning it into lean muscle mass. You're even going to find that your energy level will spike. This is all with the testosterone level that is back to where it's supposed to be. Let Men's T Clinic give you a test, find out where you are, if you're a candidate for the service and for the treatments. They will simply work with your insurance department, your insurance, and make sure that they pay for most of that service. You're going to find that very little comes out of your pocket, but the results are going to be substantial. Get back to being the real you with my friends over at Men's T Clinic. 4 locations in Houston, Pearland, Pasadena, Cypress, and the Heights. Go to mensteaclinic.com. Get your respect in diamonds.
I bought a plane, Jane, roll it. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Before we get back to those two, just to let you know, we're still playing the name game where you call two names. And if you happen to be the name that we call, you have a chance to win a prize if you're the first caller. And we're still giving away tickets to Nightbird in concert. Nightbird is a Fleetwood Mac tribute band. They'll take the stage in the concert hall at House of Blues on Saturday, August 11th. Doors open at 7. We are not the show to give you those tickets, but if you want to see Nightbird, continue to listen throughout the day. Your next chance to win is at 9:30. Now back to John and Lance.
All right, back here. So, did you hear that promo during the break, Lance? Were you listening at all?
Yeah. Which promo?
Well, the promo that we were just talking about.
The kickoff stuff.
The kickoff stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, Dell was. It's a promo for John, Lance, and Dell, and there was no Dell in it.
It's not a John, Lance, and Dell promo. It's even worse than that. It's labeled a John, Raheel, and Dell promo, and there's no Raheel or Dell. It's just Lance because he likes
Raheel.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, you did. No. Play it again.
No, if there was no Raheel.
Was Raheel in it?
No.
Yeah.
No, yes, he wasn't. Was.
100% Raheel.
Why is that a John Raheel and Dell?
Because I guess it was that discussion was had between 9 and 9:30 or 9:40, depending on when Lance decided he was done for the day.
Because they couldn't find any John Raheel and Dell?
No, because our interns don't, man, whatever.
Because they couldn't find one segment that you wanted to promote?
No, it's just it happened between 9 and 9:30, which is part of the John Raheel Dell, so they just pulled it. No, with no regard for who was actually talking at the time.
Well, all I know is that, yeah, it'll probably be difficult to find anything to promote with John Raheel and Dell.
Because that kickoff discussion was so scintillating.
That It was nonstop scintillation.
Hey, guys, we got to pull that kickoff stuff that they were talking about. Did you hear that? When they talked about the difference between full run and then a five-yard run and
know.
Then a flat yeah. foot?
I'm going to ask Tyler. He's the one who, like, coordinates. Which intern pulled that, decided a promo, some sound featuring two guys? Well, one guy who isn't even a part of that actual show, at least labeled part of the show, should get put in the system.
You know who it was? An intern that wanted to go home, get done with their stuff, probably, and get out of there.
Probably.
All right. First of all, some things that happened last. I mean, it was you might talk about a boring night. Not much going on. Did you see Daniel Ponce de Leon? He had a no-hitter through seven for the Cardinals. Nice job. That guy got hit in the face with a – is that not one of the scary – when JT was pitching, that was my biggest fear, is that he comes off and he throws that pitch and a line drive comes right back at his melon. That is, like, I think, even more than standing in the box and getting hit by a pitch, a line drive, how fast is that ball coming off the bat? And especially with today, with, you know, the aluminum bats as opposed to the wood bats – that is like one of the biggest fear. This dude overcame that in the minors, and his debut in the majors last night was a no-hitter through seven, and then they pulled him. He threw 116 pitches, so they pulled him. But that to overcome that, that's a pretty neat story.
Hey, there's a really good piece ESPN just released on top trade targets.
Yeah.
And one of them is bullpen.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zach Britton has been heavily discussed. Hopefully there's not a deal that's already just in place that they're just trying to finalize. Hopefully he's still wide open because, you know, I thought here's what it says. Jerry Krasnick tweeted Sunday that the Cubs and Astros are trying to match prospects with the Braves, who are more reluctant to give up players for a rental. The idea of Britton, you know, being a rental, I don't know. If you're the Astros, I don't think if you were to make a deal – you give up good prospects, I think you're going to want to hang on to Britton long term.
Yeah, and well, it depends on. Yeah, I think a lot of that is going to be him being here, winning. You know, I think. And here's something that, and I don't know if you noticed this about Leno, he doesn't get rentals. He gets Cole when he's got a couple of years left on his deal. He gets guys, unless it's, you know, a middle of the road guy, but he's not going to give much up for him. Right. But he picked up Verlander with a few years left on his deal. Picked up Cole with a few years left on his deal. He ain't going out and giving up top prospects for a couple of months of baseball. That just ain't happening. So he likes value. And he sees more value in guys that have got contracts. There are other guys on this list. I don't know. You think the Rangers might give up Kela?
Not to the Astros.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. Ryan Pressly from the Twins, they're a disappointment. He's got his ups and downs this year, though. Kirby Yates from the Padres. Brad Brock from the Orioles.
Brad Brock is the type of guy that they might target because it doesn't, it's another arm and it doesn't cost you, much in, I don't think it'll cost you much in prospects considering that he's, you know, you're taking a little bit of money off their books and he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah. The problem with them is his 4.34 ERA.
Well, the pitching, same thing with Liriano last year, the pitching was a problem, but, you know, if you want to make a move, that's a kind of a non-move, he's your guy.
Yeah. There's some Marlins.
There's one move. There's Zach Britton. That's your move. That's what's left.
I think he's a question mark too, though. I mean, I obviously the experience, but don't forget last year they had a deal with them, and Peter Angelos screwed it up. You can't count on the Orioles. Peter Angelos is probably the most inconsistent and unreliable owner of all of Major League Baseball. And I don't know that you're probably dealing with him again because you try and get through that, but you just can't. He's a guy that will want too much and not be realistic about a trade. And then, you know, his general manager will work out a deal and go, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, what? I told him we would. What? Now we're looking like idiots. Yeah, I don't care. And he doesn't care. All right, it says 7:58 ESPN 97.5, catching up on breaks. We're going to be also going to Channel 26 a little bit later, next segment right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, save some people some money, Lance.
Well, I tell you what, I just got done doing that. I got a direct message from Christina, who's been a longtime listener of the show, who said she tried Bill Advisor after I talked about it. They ended up saving her over $3,000. Three G's. I told you this happens. You know, they always say, well, just say the average is between $900. But here's the thing. Every month that average is going up. It started off between 5 and 7, and then it was 7 and 8, and then it went to 8 and 9. And I'm telling you now, the average, I don't really talk to anybody who doesn't save over $1,000. I'm just being honest with you. I saved $2,000 the very first year, and that's for just over $150 in 1 year. $12, it's just $12.99 per month. You do the math on that. Over 1 year, your savings are substantial. And they continue to look out for your rates. When your electric bill's up, they're looking for new rates. When your homeowners or auto insurance are up, they're looking for new rates. They immediately look at your cell phone and your internet provider and your satellite or cable, if you have that as well, home phone. And they immediately look to slice those. And they're almost always successful in doing it. And not only slicing those rates, but giving you bill credits as well. Let the professional negotiators lower your rates and put more money in your pocket. You can't get another job. You're all capped out. You make what you make, but you can really have more money in your pocket when you lower your bills with Bill Advisor. Text GO to 232323 and get started today, just like Christina. And before you know it, within 24 hours, you're going to see massive savings. BillAdvisor.com or text GO to 232323.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.